Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
6:58, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here on this Thursday night. And we've got a lot to talk about here. How about Carson Wentz speaking in Indianapolis for the first time since the trade? And, of course, today, Nick Sirianni and Howie Roseman spoke to the media. We're going to bring that to you in full later on this evening during this show. If you missed it today, you're going to hear Howie Roseman and Nick Sirianni address really kind of state of the Eagles. Yesterday, they did a sit-down with Dave Spadaro, but that's a team thing, right? It's not a real press conference until you get everyone from the media chiming in with different kinds of questions and thoughts and kind of putting them on the hot spot, and they did. And it was interesting to listen to today. But really, and we'll get to some of the Howie stuff and maybe the future of the position at quarterback here and what Howie Roseman had to say. But really, listening to Nick Sirianni today, and this isn't the first time, and I want to give him credit for something before we go any further. Nick Sirianni sounds more comfortable speaking. So I will give him credit for that. I mean, it's hard to imagine him feeling less comfortable than he did in his introductory press conference a couple months ago. But today was not the kind of press conference where it was like, oh my goodness, he can't even talk in front of us. He's having trouble with that. I thought he was much more composed as a talker today. But as the press conference went along today, and Nick Sirianni is talking about how excited he is. He's very excitable, Nick Sirianni. Like, he's enthusiastic, and that's great. And here's the more I listen to this guy talk, and you know, whether it's the podcast on the Eagles website, or it's on with Angelo a couple months ago, or it's an introductory press conference, or today. I probably heard Sirianni talk five times now, or you know, something to that accord. And a few things stand out to me. One, he obviously is passionate, which is great. If you're going to be a football coach in this town, you better have passion, because this town has passion. So he's got that. I don't think he is a dumb guy. I mean, I could see how he could be a good coach, X's and O's, and I think he seems like a hard worker and all. I mean, there's a lot of good things that I've taken away. But something I keep coming back to is this. He just seems very green for this. And I don't know if Nick Sirianni realizes what he's getting himself into, both with the media aspect of his job, which is a significant one here in Philadelphia, and as a first-time head coach anywhere. And then the aspect of trying to get through to players, pros. Because when I listen to Nick Sirianni, and again, I think he has a chance to be a smart coach and a good coach and a good X's and O's coach. But I now have a fear and a worry about Sirianni after listening to him again today, that he's just a little bit Harry High School for the NFL. That he is just not his personality. I don't know if it is going to work with 31-year-olds and 30-year-olds in an NFL locker room. I want to play something for you here. This is today, Nick Sirianni, during the press conference with the Eagles and Howie and the assembled media on Zoom. And it was a fair question, and one certainly we're probably going to talk a lot about the next couple of months as the Eagles decide what to do with Zach Ertz, and they maybe draft Kyle Pitts in the first round. The whole idea of like, hey, you know, what do? Are you a 12 personnel offense, or do you want to be a 3 wide receiver offense? So it's a fair question. Like, what is your philosophy on offense? And then obviously how the team is built around your philosophy. Listen to Nick Sirianni talk. You'll hear how excited he is, which is great. But then listen to the story he goes into and kind of where his brain relates. And I'm worried. Here's Sirianni today.
As far as the personnel goes, again, it always looks different based off of who you are and what team you have. And so I've been on teams that have been heavy 11 personnel. I've been on teams that have been and it's always really started there in the 11 personnel, right? But then I've had teams that have had, you know, yes, we were heavy in 11 personnel, but 12 was our good mixer. And then I've had teams that we've been on that 21 with two halfbacks have been a good mixer, and 21 with a fullback is a good mixer. So again, it is all about, it really is. And I hate to sound cliche here, but it is really about what your players can do. I've had success in 12. Yeah. Like our teams in Indy had success with multiple tight ends on the field. So we know the sign of a good coach is using the personnel. Like, I love it to have a chance to brag on my brother. Like, my brother, I think, is the best football. He doesn't coach high school football anymore. But what he did at Southwestern High School was he won a state championship running the pro system. Then he had the athletes to run a spread system, and he ran the spread system, and they won a state championship. And 3 years later, he had no athletes. Sorry to any of those Southwestern kids that are listening right now. He had no athletes. They turned to the wing T, ran the wing T, and went to the stinking state championship game. They didn't win the state championship game. So whatever. My point is, and again, I love saying that because I love my brother, and I love bragging on him. But my point is, that's a sign of a good coach, is the one that can take his teams and use their best personnel. With that being said, it's also important that you're not just an 11 personnel team, and that you're not just a 21 personnel team, and that you're not just a 12 personnel team, because that's easy for the defense to watch and scheme. So if 11's who we are, it's important that we're good at 12 as well, and 21 and et cetera. 13 has also been something we've done a lot in the past.
All right, that's enough, Nick. Listen, the message is fine, I appreciate the message, and I think what he's saying there is part of the reason why I think he can have success here with Jalen Hurts or any quarterback, because his offenses in Indianapolis did exactly what he's saying there. They were different every year based on the personnel. Great. I'm gonna clap for that. I'm in. I want that kind of coach, but – I mean, this is not high school football. This is the NFL. This is not Southwestern High in near Buffalo in upstate New York. And I got to tell you, Nick, and I know, you know, he says he's always around the city, and maybe he listens to WIP. Nick, I'm on your side. I think you could be a good coach. No more of the high school football stuff. Like we got to stop with the high school football. He's an NFL head coach talking about high school football. And I mean, if that's the way he's going to relate to us, I played high school football. Probably a lot of people listening, you played high school football. We can all kind of relate to that. I mean, it's a grassroots, it's a youth thing. High school football it's great. It's awesome. It's Americana. It's not the NFL. And it's had nothing to do with the NFL. The wing T at his brother's high school, where his brother was a coach, does not really matter to how he's going to coach in the NFL and his philosophy. I am worried about Nick Sirianni. 215-592-9494. We've heard this guy talk about five times now. You've probably heard him talk at length about two or three times. His introductory press conference with Angelo, and then today, we'll bring you the full press conference later on in the show tonight. Are you worried about Nick Sirianni? I am. One, he's walking into a significantly difficult situation with quarterback uncertainty, with a roster that is obviously not built to win anything significant right now. I think they're going to be better than people think, but the Eagles aren't going to be an 11-win team next year. So it's not an easy roster to work with. It's a young quarterback that has to find his way. It is a team that is coming off a down year in a very demanding city. And here's the thing that is now standing out to me. Nick Sirianni talks and acts like a high school coach. And it doesn't mean he can't be smart and he can't draw up great plays. I am just worried that the team, the locker room, is not going to buy into Nick Sirianni. And that when you have is a Fletcher Cox going to want to run through a wall for this guy? I don't know. And look, Doug Peterson, at times could Doug be kind of dopey and silly? Absolutely. But there's one thing about Doug Peterson that none of us could ever challenge. I couldn't challenge it. You could never challenge it. What was Doug Peterson at one point? An NFL quarterback for a long time. He played in the league. He had that kind of cachet when he walked in the room that even though he might say, oh, let's go get some ice cream, guys, he's Doug Peterson. He has a Super Bowl ring. Like, he played in the NFL forever. He played under Brett Favre and under Donovan McNabb and under Dan Marino. Like, he was in the league. He knew how the league worked. So when he got there, even if he was raw as a coach and even if he was a little bit dopey when he talked sometimes, he knew how a locker room worked. He knew how the dynamic worked between the players and the coaches because he lived it. Now, Nick Sirianni's not off the street. He's been in the NFL a little while here. He's been an assistant. He's worked his way up. I mean, he is certainly qualified to get a chance in the modern NFL with the way coaches are hired based on the offensive side of the ball. He's certainly qualified to get a chance here. But I would be lying to you if I said I wasn't concerned with Nick Sirianni. The personality, the Harry High School kind of attitude is rah-rah stuff. I just don't think that is going to work in an NFL locker room. And I'm hoping that Nick Sirianni is way different with his players than he is talking to us, than he is trying to dumb things down and explain it to you and I, just the layman fan. I hope that's what today was. I hope that it's just like he's trying to explain more complicated concepts and he uses his brother's example because, you know, you and your car played high school football and you kind of get that, like the different kinds of ways you can win on a high school level. But goodness gracious, that better not be the way he explains things to his team, because I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but nobody cares about his brother's high school football team. I don't. I don't think Tucker does.
I mean, they didn't even win, Joe.
I know. They lost in the state title game. Like, what kind of story is that? You know who especially doesn't care? I guarantee it. Fletcher Cox doesn't care. Lane Johnson doesn't care. I don't think these guys...
Brandon Graham might care.
Brandon Graham
He's
might.
He's a nice guy.
He's a genuine guy. He might actually bring up his high school days. Most of these guys don't care about Nick Sirianni's brother, you know, getting to a state championship semifinal or whatever stuff he was saying there. It doesn't matter. He just has a very raw... I mean, I just keep using the term Harry High School. Like, doesn't he come across as a high school football coach? I feel like my high school football coach kind of had that same personality. It doesn't mean he can't coach. It's just I wonder if he can be, if he's ready to be an NFL head coach, a leader of men. Doug was that. Doug, say what you want about Doug's X's and O's. Say what you want about Doug's press conferences. Say what you want about Doug's one-liners that became a soundboard for the afternoon show. You know what Doug was? He was a leader of men. They played hard for that guy. They ran through a wall for that guy for, I'd say, the majority of his tenure here. Tucker, I'm worried about Nick Sirianni that it's just a little too rah-rah and a little too not the NFL.
I mean, he reminds me a lot of your guy, Joe, and Gabe Kapler, in that he seems very earnest.
Yes.
He seems very excited. Like, very. If this was any other job besides head coach, and you hired, like, if you hired this guy to do any job, I think he'd be really excited, right? Because he seems thrilled every day to come into work.
A smile on his face, pep in his step, he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, like,
energy.
He clearly wants to be here, and that's fantastic news, but he's almost too green. Like you mentioned earlier, he seems almost too earnest, and I don't know if, you know, I think the Eagles have enough veteran leadership in the locker room that they won't necessarily quit on him from day one or take advantage of him, but the guys that he has to worry about, I think, are Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman, right? And we talked about last night that, you know, when we talked about the Deshaun Watson move, that every move that they make, because of the distrust between the fan base and this front office, every move is going to be made and there's going to be a little dissension there, right? You're going to look at it a little sideways. You're going to squint at it and say, what's the real motivation here? And when I hear Nick Sirianni talk, can you imagine Jeff Lurie and Howie Roseman going back to Jeff's office and laughing, saying, look at this guy. This guy's not going to challenge us. This guy's going to do whatever we want him to do. This guy's just going to say yes to any idea we have because he's just thrilled to be here.
Yeah, and that's worrisome. And I will point out this as far as the team, and Tucker mentioned the leadership and their veterans. Remember Doug's first year, 2016, the game against the Bengals, the old lay block by Zach Ertz when he didn't block. Who was that? Who was the
it was Vontaze Burfict.
That's right, Burfict. He didn't block him, and Burfict almost took out Carson Wentz. He luckily got out of bounds. And then the other play in that game was Roddy McLeod. I think it was his first year with the Eagles at that point, 2016. It seemed like, from the naked eye, from us watching on TV, the game was at Cincinnati. It seemed like Roddy kind of pulled up at the end as the Bengal was going into the end zone. Didn't really feel like trying to make that play. And after the game, it was Howard, ironically, who was just on with us. Howard asked Doug the question, might have been post-game or the next day at the Monday press conference, did Doug believe every one of his players gave full effort the day before? And I thought it was a kind of, you know, a crossroads moment in Doug's early tenure as an NFL head coach. And Doug said, no, he didn't believe that. And that I thought the reaction of that from his players was going to go a long way to determine if they were going to quit on him or respond. And they did respond. He called them out, not by name, but I think we all realized what he was talking about. He called them out. They played hard the last four games and they won two of those to kind of springboard themselves out of that season into the next year. When that moment happens for Nick Sirianni next year, and it certainly might or in some shape or form, is he going to be able to have the cachet to do that? I don't know. Like, and Tucker mentioned Gabe Kapler, right? Who was a little bit different and maybe earnest when he spoke. But guess what he also had? Even if you thought he was like, just nothing like a normal baseball manager. He was also an ex-player. He played in the big leagues for years. So he had that. Where at least his players could say, all right, he might talk and sound a little different, but he knows the game. He played the game. He knows how it works in a clubhouse. He was in one. He won a championship with the Red Sox. Doug won a championship with the Packers. Like, these guys, when you're an ex-player and you have a different personality as a manager or coach, you can get away with it because the players know you've been there. Nick Sirianni is worrying me because he comes across as Harry High School. He's never been a coach anywhere, and I don't know if the players are going
to... Well, he's the brother of Harry High School.
Well, that's true. He's Harry NFL now?
He's Harry High School's little brother.
Harry High School's little brother who now coaches the Eagles. 215-592-9494. And again, I don't think he's going to be a dummy X's and O's. I think his pedigree is good. He was an offensive coordinator for a good offense for a few years. He got the job based on where he's come from. And coaching under Frank Reich, he might know football. He might be able to teach football. But is he going to be able to get through to grown men? I mean, I'm listening to this guy talk, and I am worried about Nick Sirianni. Are you? 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. Warren is in Gwinnett Valley. What's up, Warren?
Hey, Joe. Thanks for taking my call. Beautiful evening.
It is a great night. Warren, what are you thinking
football.
Here? Yes, let's talk some Eagles.
I totally agree with you and Tucker. Having said that, it's a shame that that Jeffrey Lurie is actually putting himself, the city, and the team in this unenviable position of having picked Nick Sirianni, not knowing, we don't know what his future will be. But having said that, it would have been nicer if he did the right thing and brought in a pedigreed coach, just like Doug Peterson, what you were saying about the Phillies bringing in, somebody that had a good pedigree.
Well, you know what it would have done, Warren? And then there were some guys they interviewed that had some experience. Todd Bowles was one of them. Even an Eric Bieniemy, right, who was a player in the league and now has been a coordinator for a while. It would have given us – I think it would have given us some peace of mind. Like, okay, there's a lot of dysfunction here. We don't know about the team. But at least they've got this coach that we feel pretty good about his personality and his X's and O's. And with Sirianni – it's just very difficult to feel great about it. And again, I think he might turn out to be a smart coach and know the game and know offense, but I'm just worried that these guys are going to walk all over him.
I would be concerned also. When you say that, I'm thinking that the team that Doug Peterson acquired was far superior to what Nick Sirianni has been handed. And you've got a bunch of older players and a bunch of younger players, so you've got two sides, really. The older players, you're going to have to earn their respect, and the younger players need the older players to, hold up their end. So, they're keeping the younger players in line.
For sure. And it's one of those things where the first year, it's like an impression is set. And Warren, I remember walking out of Doug's first year when they won those final two games, and I was like, all right, you know what? He's established something here. The players obviously play hard for him. They like him. They respect him. And I didn't know they would win the Super Bowl the next year, but I felt good about that Doug he had a chance to be a good coach. And, I mean, I hope we have that same feeling about Nick, 8 months from now. I'm just not sure here, Warren.
My concern is we're going to get, two, three, four games into the season. And if he hasn't, proven himself by then, I'm afraid we're going to be looking at a mid-season change, and the season and the team and the city are going to be really, looking pretty sore.
Well, Warren, I appreciate the call. This is an unforgiving place. We know that. It's an unforgiving city. You know what the Eagles really need? And we won't get the schedule for probably two more months. They really could use a soft September. It doesn't even matter, if they're only going to be a six-win team at the end of the day anyway. If two or three of those wins could come in September, Tucker, that would give Sirianni a buffer. I think he could survive. He could just get through the year. If remember Doug's first year, they won a lot in the beginning, right? So they got off to a good start, and they had a swoon in the middle, finished strong. But that start at least bought him time to where, no one was talking about how big of a dummy he might have been because he had that start. That would really help. If they have a tough start, they go 0-4, and he's doing these press conferences talking about his brother's, wing T when they were 0-4 in Western New York or whatever. Not going to go well.
No, and Doug also had the buffer of having Carson Wentz, yes. Right? I mean, the entire city was buzzing about Carson Wentz that entire season. Like, even if you were skeptical about Doug, which I think a lot of people were, you were indifferent about Doug, not only did that start help, but just having Carson Wentz there, like, that was the whole story that year. Nick Sirianni doesn't necessarily have that. I think when the games do start, we'll focus on Jalen Hurts a little bit more, but there isn't really a circus around Jalen Hurts the way there was around Carson Wentz.
No.
Right? Carson Wentz, we've heard it a million times. He came here, and he was the savior, right? He was the guy. He was the franchise quarterback. He was going to win the Super Bowl and be here for 15 years, and Doug Peterson kind of just had to ride his coattails for a little bit. Nick Sirianni doesn't have that. As excited as some people are about Jalen Hurts, he doesn't have that fanfare going along with him.
No, I would say that there's a lot of skepticism around Jalen Hurts, just like there is around Nick Sirianni. They're going to come into this together with skepticism. 215-592-9494. Are you worried about Nick Sirianni? I am. I've listened to him speak at length now about five times. I don't doubt that he knows the game. I don't doubt that he probably knows X's and O's and has an idea of how he wants this to look. And he ran or helped run good offenses in Indianapolis with three different kinds of quarterbacks. But the more I listen to him, the more I hear Harry High School kind of in over his head, pie in the sky personality. And I just don't know how a locker room of grown men is going to react to this. It's one thing to convince me or you that he could do the job. But is he going to have these guys be able to run through a wall for him? Like, is Fletcher Cox going to roll his eyes if this guy brings up his brother as a coaching influence, who was a high school coach in Western New York? This isn't like Doug Peterson bringing up, okay, I was with Don Shula when he did this. I was with Mike Holmgren or Andy Reid. We're literally talking about high school football. Barry in West Philadelphia. What's up, Barry?
Hey, what's happening, man?
What are you thinking, Barry?
You know what, man? I think totally different about Nick Sirianni, to be honest with you. And maybe it's just me seeing the glass half full, but I see a lot of new energy. He's got passion. And just like it was said earlier, you can't be in Philadelphia and not have passion. He's got passion about the game. I think that we're going to see a lot of innovation. I think we're going to see a lot of the things that we saw with Andy Reid. I think we're going to see a lot of creative plays. And I think that because he comes from a good football pedigree, I think that we're going to see a lot more clock management, a lot more appropriate plays at the appropriate time. That's going to energize the team. Now, granted, I'm with you with the Harry High School mentality. Mm-hmm. I am. But winning is going to change that. If he's coming in there and those X's and O's are translating on the field and the plays are being executed properly and the team is winning, that's going to gender respect. That's going to get the respect from the players. I don't think his personality is going to win them over, but if the team is winning, that's going to generate respect. And if somebody comes in there and tries to come in there late and be flipping with them, once he gets that respect from winning, the other players will jump on, will defend him and jump on whoever the offender is. So, man, I think that with his coaching staff, the new energy, the young gunners, I feel good about it, man. Maybe it's just me being over-optimistic. Maybe it's me bleeding green, but I got good vibes from him.
Well, you know what, Barry? I'm glad you brought that to the table because, you know, I need some good vibes, and I appreciate the phone call. And you could be right on that. And I do think energy is a good thing. Passion is a great thing, especially in this city, especially when it comes to football in this city. So he'll have that. And if he can win, yeah, maybe the locker room, he'll win it over, and they'll kind of police it for him. And maybe Jalen Hurts, who's a natural leader, will kind of have everyone on his side as the head coach. I hope so. I'm worried about his personality, and not because I think he's a bad guy or they won't like him. I just wonder if this is the kind of young head coach that gets walked all over by a team that has still a mix of some veterans here. 215-592-9494. Are you worried about Nick Sirianni after hearing him speak again today and all the Harry High School stuff? I am. I think he might be a smart coach, X's and O's wise, but I don't know if he's ready for all of this, dealing with Jeffrey and Howie and us and the craziness of press conferences and what it becomes in Philadelphia. I don't know if he's ready for this, and I am worried about Sirianni. 215-592-9494. That is a hopper. We'll come back. What did Nick Sirianni say about Jalen Hurts today and the idea of building an offense around him? You'll hear that next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!